Play clock near one. Corner of the end zone. Lamb, one-handed try. He got it. Touchdown, Lamb. What a catch. What a throw. And the Cowboys back on top.
And just as you figured, Cooper Rush leading the Cowboys to back-to-back victories after Dak Prescott out with a thumb injury. He says he might be ready as soon as week four, which would be the next game. But do the Cowboys really need Dak Prescott? I mean, they're winning. And they won last night. CeeDee Lamb, former Oklahoma Sooner, with a sensational catch, one hand in the end zone. And that gave the Cowboys a lead for good. And the Cowboys now 2-1. The Giants are 2-1. Of course, the big news out of the NFL yesterday, and welcome to the Sports Ticket, everyone. Wade and Dusty with you. Jason, join us in a little bit. The Chiefs have released kicker Matt Amendola. Stunning move by the Chiefs.
Couldn't believe it.
I'm shocked. Amendola missed a field goal, an extra point in the loss at Indianapolis. And, of course, Harrison Butker injured in week one. So his status for this weekend, still not certain. The Chiefs expect to bring in some other kickers to work this week. Do you know that Chase McLaughlin, who kicked for the Colts after the Colts cut their kicker, Rodrigo Blankenship, Chase McLaughlin's first game as a kicker for the Colts, do you know that he was one of the kickers the Chiefs brought in, along with Amendola and five others? And they chose Amendola over McLaughlin.
Yeah.
And you had the Colts coming up, and he would have been familiar with the stadium a little bit, I would imagine. He was on the practice squad for the Colts. McLaughlin made all his kicks. Amendola did not. And the Chiefs passed on a 37-yard field goal, go for a 4th-and-2. The Chiefs end up a fake field goal with 4th-and-10. Ill-fated fake field goal because they didn't trust their kicker. So, yeah. Hey, two K-State players were named Players of the Week in the Big 12, rightfully so, after their win over Oklahoma on Saturday. Adrian Martinez, the Offensive Player of the Week in the Big 12, and safety Kobe Savage named Newcomer of the Week. Martinez, 382 yards of offense, 5 touchdowns. He threw for 234 and a score, ran for 148 and 4 scores, and torched the Sooner defense. Savage led the K-State D with 11 tackles, which is the most by Wildcat in a single game this season. All right, before we get to Mark Lentz of Keisha, who's going to join us here in just a moment, and then also Matthew Derrick at Chiefs Digest will join us at the bottom of the hour, let's throw it over to Dusty as there's local sports today. We'll have some volleyball and some volleyball on the live stream as well.
Yes, real quick, I want to go back through last night's volleyball results. Lakeside got a couple wins over Southern Cloud and Pike Valley, beat Southern Cloud in 3, Pike Valley in 2. Lady Knights are 13-7 on the season after last night's wins. Also, the Lake Girls tennis team was at Clay Center. Highlights from there, number one singles, Ashlyn Knight went 3-1 and finished in 3rd place, and number one doubles, Chloe Odell and Sydney Thompson were 3-1 and finished in 3rd place. Chapman took first as a team, and Beloit was 3rd. Yeah, volleyball coming up today. The Beloit Lady Trojans hosting Southeast of Saline as they'll get started. The first varsity match is at 5 o'clock there in Beloit. Again, you can check out the live video stream at ncksports.com, 4:55. It'll start going on, and then they'll have that first match, varsity, and then JV, and then varsity there at Beloit here tonight with local volleyball. Also, Lakeside in a duel hosting Northern Valley here this evening. The Tescott Quad, Osborne, Southern Cloud, Wilson also competing there. Thunder Ridge Triangular, Lady Longhorns hosting Lincoln and Natoma tonight. Pike Valley Triangular as the Lady Panthers host Sylvan Lucas and Rock Hills. And in the Smith Center, Lady Redder at the TMP Quad along with Phillipsburg and Russell. Concordia hosting Chapman tonight in NCKL volleyball action. Also, Osmond girls tennis teams at the Ellsworth Round Robin. That starts at 3 o'clock here this afternoon. And also, for the latest in local sports, you can check out ncksports.com. The Kansas Cross Country coaches have released their latest rankings and team rankings in 1A girls, Osborne number 2, 1A boys, St. John's is number 3, and Osborne number 4. Again, you can find those full rankings at ncksports.com, your home for local sports here in North Central Kansas.
It's the last home volleyball matches for Beloit tonight already. Just the way the schedule is. That's it. They had all the home matches in September, and then that's it. On the road the rest of the way. And it's hard to believe, but state volleyball is a month away.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like volleyball season goes by way too quickly. And many people say football goes by way too quickly. And I know in junior high basketball, it's like you have a whole bunch of practices, and then all your games, you're done in 4 weeks or 5-6 weeks, and then you go to wrestling.
Yeah.
But then we get in high school, basketball and wrestling seem a lot longer. Because they are longer than they are in junior high.
They're split up and with the break in between there, and it feels like it drags by the time the regular season is over. Then you're ready for postseason for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So We look forward to all of that coming up very, very soon. Substate volleyball, I mean, less than a month away. And we don't know the substate assignments yet, do we?
No, they got to split the division still in 1A. They'll do that when the substate assignments, they'll release all that if they're at the same time. And, yeah, that should be coming out pretty soon. Probably like maybe Thursday or Friday of this week, I think, is typically when that would come out.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that because we obviously have a lot of teams in our area that would be curious where they would go. And the classifications came out the other day, and Heritage Christian is going to be 3A,
yeah,
not 2A. So Smith Center, Hillsborough, and others rejoice again for the second straight year. And 3A schools are like, well, I guess if we're going to win at all, we got to beat the defending champ. Yep. Which, you know, that's the way it's supposed
to be,
right?
To be the best, right?
Well, that's true. And you're going to meet them. If you're from this area, you're going to meet them at state. If you're going to play them, you're not going to face them at substate. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody this way's got to go all the way to Olathe. But
no.
Then again, who knows with the way this whole thing is set up and how. I mean, Smith Center went to Waubunsee, for crying out loud. So anything is possible, I assume. Yeah, that's how it is. All right, so that's a look at the local sports. Now, set this up. Mark Lentz, you had a chance to talk to him yesterday because there's some confusion with some coaches in our area that got us all a little bit concerned and worried. And we're like, well, do the coaches know more than we do? Which many times they do. But do they know more than we do on this situation? Because we had not heard anything like it. And we investigated a little bit. I say we, but it's mainly Dusty, investigated it. And so why don't you set this all up for everybody?
Yeah. There was a vote over the summer about changing the 3A, 2A, and 1A postseason to kind of be
high
like
school football
for high school football, yes, to kind of be like 6A, 5A, 4A, basically, where they seed in 6A, 5A, 4A the number 1 through 16 teams in the East, and they seed at 1 through 16 in the West on their playoff brackets. And there was a vote that happened over the summer by the Kansas State High School Activities Association Executive Board, and they approved this kind of new proposal that would kind of do the same thing for the rest of the 11-man schools. And 8-man schools were on the proposal this summer as well. And so that got approved, and I think it might have confused some people thinking it was actually going to go into effect already this year to seed East 1 through 16, West 1 through 16 on the brackets in 3A, 2A, and 1A. And so that was the first portion of this that I had one coach is like, oh, since they changed the postseason format, it's more important to win this district game right off the bat to get this first one in district play. And I was like, I don't know if that's going into effect this year. So I wanted to look at that. There is a change in 8-man football as well that actually did go into effect this year. Mark Lentz is going to explain that a little bit more. But basically what happens is there was a lot of teams that were frustrated that they were playing a district team, a team from their district, in the second round of the playoffs again already. It was a rematch of a district game, and it's like, can we not maybe play them a little bit later in the playoffs?
In some cases, you'd play a team twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And for example, like, you know, there was, I think, 2 seasons in a row where Osborne and Sylvan Lucas met in the second round of the playoffs when they were in the same district. Mm-hmm. And so this new format guarantees you won't meet another team in your district until the third round of the playoffs. Mark Lentz is going to explain that a little bit as well coming up here. So there were two different things that I was talking about that I thought was the same thing I was talking about with two different coaches in the area. And so it got me a little bit confused, and I think that there might be some other people that were kind of questioning some of the postseason things and what's going on with postseason football here in the state of Kansas. So that's my part of it, of how to explain best what we're going to chat about with Mark Lentz here.
Now, this is pertaining to football, but I can tell you that I've talked to a few people since you and I discussed yesterday, and of course, I was aware of this as well, but volleyball and basketball, they're working on the same thing, a seeding 1 through 16. But none of this is put in the stone yet. So Dusty had a chance to talk to Mark Lentz, Acacia, and here's his short conversation with Mark, which doesn't need to be a long conversation. He's explaining about 3 minutes long. So for all of you out there wondering about are there changes to high school football playoff format this year, listen carefully.
And welcome back here on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94. Mark Lentz, one of the directors at Acacia, joining us as an administrator for football. And we're talking football postseason and playoffs because there's some information that I was made aware of that there may be some changes in brackets and things like that. And first of all, Mark, thanks for taking just a little bit of time to be with us here. You know, one of the things that was proposed over the summer and approved by your executive board was a change in like the 3A, 2A, 2A, 1A playoffs to where, and even eight-man moving forward, I think, to where you're going to seed East through West 1 through 16, kind of like you do in 6, 5, and 4A. But if you can, go through what that process was and when that might actually take effect, because it's not coming up this season, right?
Right, yeah, and our class is 3-2-1A. We went to our executive board, passed through the athletic director conference, and just our board decided that they just didn't like the fact that not very many schools actually weighed in on it, and because it would potentially increase some travel for schools or school loss of school time, those type of things. So they wanted to take it out to regional meetings in October. And what those are is basically all administrators go to a meeting within their area, and our executive director conducts those meetings, and they talk about different proposals and want to get a little bit better feedback from the schools as to whether or not they feel, you know, a change is good, and if a change needs to reevaluate it, so to speak. So if it comes positive out of those meetings, then our board will re-talk about it, and if they want, they could put it back into play for consideration for next year.
Okay, so that's that same process of everything we kind of see with Casey, right? Your board of directors approves that, and then the member schools need to kind of put that to a vote, right?
Yeah, well, not in this case. In this case, it's just our executive board will do that. They are members from the board of directors, but it will not take a complete vote of the schools for this one to go into effect. If they feel like there's positive, then our executive board could move that forward for next year.
Okay. And then there is just a little bit of a tweak in the eight-man postseason this year, right?
Yeah, it is. And this one's just a little bit different. That went into play. It got voted to pass 2 years ago, but start with the new cycle. So basically it just changed some of the potential meetings in the first round, second round of the playoffs. Basically kind of puts four districts together, so to speak. Districts 1, for example, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So you just won't see anybody out of your district until potentially the sectional round of the playoffs instead of the second round even. So it just kind of separates it a little bit more. And it came pretty much overwhelmingly from regional meetings 2 years ago. So our board said, let's do it and see how it goes. And, you know, I think it's a positive move for eight player.
Mark Lentz, administrator of football and there at Kansas State High School Activities Association. We certainly thank you for taking a little bit of time to clear some of that up for us, Mark, and we'll chat with you down the road, all right?
All right. Thank you for all you do.
So we appreciate Mark taking the time there, kind of short notice, to explain in his own words. It's best to cut out the middleman and just hear it straight from the horse's mouth, and he did, and he explained it pretty well. So hopefully that alleviates some of the confusion that's out there.
Yeah, definitely. It helped me out tremendously yesterday just to actually talk to him and get everything cleared up so I knew what was coming. Because, you know, for me it was like I'm preparing last week on Friday to get ready for district because you want to know what's going to happen in the playoffs after district is over. So that's kind of where I was alerted to everything. And it's like, okay, we're good this year with most of the stuff, but there is a slight change in eight-man.
Yeah. All right. Who should be the favorite to win the Big 12 now? Let's turn – and by the way, high school football, we got on the radio coming up on Friday. We've got Phillipsburg at Beloit on KD Country 94 and also Osbert St. John's Tipton on Z96.3 Lake. Two huge district games, by the way.
Yes.
And then we'll have locker room chats tomorrow and Thursday, and then the Football Express to kick it off at 5:40, and then the scoreboard show at 10:05 coming up, brought to you by State Farm Insurance. On Friday night, week five already.
Yep.
In NFL, we just completed week 3. It goes by very quickly. So the Big 12 – going into the season, I think a lot of people thought the Big 12 was somewhat wide open. I mean, Oklahoma, yes. Oklahoma State was getting some run. Baylor's defending Big 12 champion. Texas always gets mentioned. And we've all said that we think K-State, if they stay healthy, has a chance to be right there near the top competing for a bid, a berth into the Big 12 title game. And didn't look like it after Tulane. Definitely looked like it after Oklahoma. And what usually happens is K-State beats Oklahoma, but they trip up somewhere, and they end up being, you know, at best fourth in the Big 12. They don't get to the Big 12 title game. There's a loss or two, and they can't get there. Maybe this year is different. Right now in the standings, KU, Baylor, K-State, and Texas Tech are all 1-0. At the end of this weekend, only three of those four teams will be undefeated in league play because K-State plays Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. Iowa State's 0-1, Oklahoma's 0-1, Texas 0-1, West Virginia 0-1, TCU and Oklahoma State have not played a Big 12 game as of yet. Who should be, or who do you think is the favorite to win the Big 12 now after Oklahoma and Texas both lost? Come on, this is easy. Rock Chalk Jayhawk. I mean, there is nothing stopping this locomotive named the Jayhawks, who are prognosticated to be in the Sugar Bowl against Bama.
I was just going to say, I just saw that this morning.
This is the easiest question I've ever asked ever on this show. I mean, clearly, the juggernaut that is Lance Leipold and KU football is not going to lose a game at all. Duke was the wake-up call, all right?
The wake-up call.
What's crazy is, I was talking to a KU fan the other day, and he's like, you know, I mean, 6-6 is what I thought they could get to this year. That's what he said. He goes, that was the ceiling, 6-6. He goes, you know, they've got Iowa State and TCU coming up, and if they win one of those two, I'm tickled pink. We're 5-1. He said, oh, and he goes, the second half of the schedule is tough, and Brian Haney said that as well. He said, if we just get the 6 wins in a bowl, that's cool with me. And, well, you already got 4 wins, and if you win the next two, you're bowl eligible going into the Norman. And you'll be, if you're 6-0, KU probably will be in the top 15 in the country, I would guess. Definitely top 20. They'll be ranked if they beat Iowa State this weekend. If they're not, there should be an investigation. But all kidding aside, is KU a legitimate threat to win the Big 12?
It's a no for me.
Okay.
I want to see him beat Iowa State or a TCU, and I want to see him beat them handily before I say...
Now, see, I don't think they need to be a handily.
Before I make that leap to...
Why do they have to beat them handily? Iowa State barely lost to Baylor. Iowa State's a very good football team. Why does KU have to beat Iowa State?
Well,
handily?
I guess they wouldn't have to beat them handily, yeah. But I want to see them beat...
If they win the next two games, then... Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Hypothetically, if they win the next two games and they're 3-0 in Big 12 play, would you change your tune?
Sure.
You would?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so you don't believe they're going to win the next two games?
No, not both of them.
Okay. I'm not saying they will. I'm
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why you don't believe in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but one thing that is interesting, and I know the past is the past, but last year KU wasn't even close to as good as they are this year, and they led Oklahoma virtually the entire game, and it took a weird, odd Caleb Williams ripped the ball away from a running back on a 4th-and-1, or Oklahoma loses in Lawrence. Okay, and when Kansas has been stunk, they stunk with David Beatty. They were scoring a whole bunch of points down in Norman. I remember that, and a whole bunch of yards. Now, granted, KU's defense wasn't good, and Oklahoma's offense is awesome. I'm not saying KU's going to go in Norman and win, but I'm not saying they can't. And if you go in 6-0, and you're playing with so much confidence, now, granted, you're going to have Oklahoma's attention, no doubt. And I know KU fans and people listening to K-State fans are going to go, man, those Jayhawk fans are dreaming. Well, did you K-State fans ever think they'd be 4-0 right now? And have a guy that's in the Heisman Trophy conversation? Right. No. So let's not sit here and say it can't happen. Iowa State is not ranked. KU's ranked higher than Iowa State, okay, and TCU. KU should be favored in the next two games, and they're at home. So when you sit here and say, well, there's no way they're 6-0, well, why can't they be? I mean, if they can go to Houston and win and go to West Virginia and win, surely they can win in front of sellout crowds at home against Iowa State and TCU. Yes, they can. Can they lose both games? Sure. And if you're a KU fan, they lose both games, not the end of the world. You're still 4-2, and you have a chance to still go bowling. You could get a win against Tech later in the year. Maybe you can go into Manhattan and win a game. Anything's possible the way KU is playing right now. I'm with Dusty. I don't think they're a Big 12 championship contender yet. But if they win the next two, I think you got to obviously clearly give them respect. They're 6-0 and 3-0.
Absolutely, yeah.
But let's take KU out of the equation. So who should be the favorite to win the Big 12 right now?
I would guess Baylor. Baylor or Oklahoma State.
That's the two I go to.
I would put Oklahoma State maybe and then Baylor. Yeah. But Oklahoma State hasn't played a game yet. Baylor's a leg up because they actually have a win on the road in the conference
Oklahoma
against
Iowa
State right now.
Anybody that great yet, I don't think.
Yeah. And in the back of my mind, I know Oklahoma State always kind of blows it in some game to where for the conference championship talk, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we're going to find out more. Oklahoma State's at Baylor this weekend.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, here's who they played. At home against Central Michigan, gave up 44. Home to Arizona State, which is a dumpster fire right now, with Herm Edwards. That whole story, he got fired right after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And there were allegedly coaches leaking information to get him fired that was on his staff. What a mess. And then Arkansas Pine Bluff, that wasn't a game. So they have 2 weeks to prepare for Baylor. So Oklahoma State, I don't know. I think I'd lean towards Baylor. Baylor had a dogfight with BYU, lost in double overtime. They had to go to Ames and win last week. I'm with Jason. I put Baylor first and then Oklahoma State second because Oklahoma State hadn't played nobody.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, like I said, I think Baylor has a leg up because they do have a Big 12 win right now, if you're going to ask
now,
about all that.
Let me ask you this. Why are we not mentioning Oklahoma?
Oklahoma's still going to...
I wouldn't throw them away.
Yeah, yet. I wouldn't either. Yeah,
if you were asking me and not asking what the actual prognosticators are saying and what is conventional wisdom to say at this point of the season, I would still say Oklahoma.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. It's like you can still say Oklahoma even though they have a loss. Like,
yeah.
Who should be the favorite in the Big 12? You could still say Oklahoma. You could still say Texas. That's not disallowed.
Yeah.
And I think how many times do we see it? Oklahoma loses early in the conference season. A lot of times at K-State. At the end of the year, they're in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, and they generally win it.
Yeah. Although last year they didn't make it for the first time in a long time. All right, so there you go. KU's going to win it all. We're on agreement in basketball. Max is like, heck yeah. I told you to go undefeated last year. I was just off by a year. The Royals are back on the field tonight. They have just 9 games remaining. Thank God. All on the road, and they're red hot now, and that's what they do. They peak in the middle of September. They start a 3-game series against the Tigers in Detroit tonight. This is for the Royals to avoid finishing in last place. If the Royals get swept, that means they're tanking for sure, so they can get last in the division. A division has only one winning team, and of course that team's going to win the division. Well, thank God somebody with a winning record is going to win the division. That's the Cleveland Guardians. Zach Greinke on the hill, 4-9, ERA 4.21, respectable, against the Tigers. First pitch 5:40 this evening at Comerica Park. Time for a Cubs update. Jason Broadfoot.
Day off.
Perfect. Yep. Aaron, he's a man of few words. Aaron Judge update. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 3-2. Aaron Judge certainly struggling a little bit at the plate, scuffling, maybe feeling the pressure. Went 1-for-3 with 2 walks. So Judge still not to 61 homers, to tie Roger Maris for the most homers all time in the American League. And he still has a chance at the Triple Crown, but he's gone 25 at-bats now without hitting a home run. So that's not exactly a slump, but for him, I guess it might be the way he's been hitting homers this year. So that's a look quickly at baseball.